Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Did you know that half of America is single? Hollywood has never produced anything like this before. The Dating Project, a groundbreaking documentary that follows five single people, ages 18 to 40, as they search for authentic and meaningful relationships. There is no script. There are no actors. These are real people trying to find love and happiness in an age of swiping left or right. From Empower Pictures, Paulus Productions, Family Theater Productions, and PureFlix, you can now own The Dating Project. Save the date by visiting thedatingprojectmovie.com and go a step further and help others in your circle date differently by partnering with Ascension Press. Visit shop.ascensionpress.com to acquire the companion study guide. The Dating Project movie is now available on DVD and digital download on Amazon, iTunes, and Walmart. Please visit thedatingprojectmovie.com for details.
Well, it's great to be with you today. We're getting into the middle of August, so it's time to fit in those last vacations, final things for summer, and we really appreciate you spending time with us today. Whether you're here at our Ridgely Road campus or you're joining us online, it's great to have you. And especially if this is your first time, we're so glad to spend this time with you tonight. I'm Daniel Miller. I'm the director of student programs here at Nativity, so I get to work with our teenagers. And tonight, I get to begin a new series with all of you. And it's not like most of the series that we do. Most of the time, we focus on the good guys. But for almost every good guy, there's a bad guy. For every hero, there's a villain. And the next 4 weeks, we'll be looking at the bad guys of the Bible and trying to learn from their mistakes. And there's a lot of them to choose from. We had actually a hard time trying to decide who we should do first in our lineup. So who could it be? Who could it be? Who could it be?
Who could it be? Who could it be? I just can't imagine who. Could it be Satan?
Yes, we are talking about Satan today, or you might know him by another name: the devil, Lucifer, the accuser, the antichrist, the beast, Beelzebub, the dragon, the enemy, the evil one, the father of all lies, prince of darkness, ruler of demons, the tempter, the deceiver, the thief, the wicked one. We call him by many names, but the bottom line is that he's not one we want to be messing around with. This isn't a character with a pitchfork and horns. And this is a good place for us to pause for a second and acknowledge that talking about the devil may make us it may bring up some strong feelings for us. Perhaps it makes you uncomfortable. And I'm right there with you. So let's squirm a little bit. Let's do this together for the next few minutes. And I promise that there'll be a happy ending. And perhaps at this point, you're not even sure if the devil really exists. But perhaps we can begin with the common belief that there's at least evil in the world. And whenever you hear Satan or the devil, perhaps you can substitute in that idea of evil as we go along here. Because in reality, we don't talk much about Satan. What do we really know about the devil? Well, let's see. We're going to play a little game. And I'll invite you to participate, whether you're here with us or joining online. Everybody is going to be responsible to participate because it's more fun that way. If you don't participate, I'm not going to let you out after the hour, all right? Okay. So it's just a true-false game, and you can raise your hand. We'll just do it the old-fashioned way for everybody that's here with us on campus. And I guess we'll just start. You guys ready for the first true-false statement? Satan is a real person. Who thinks that's true? And how about false? I don't know if everybody's hands were raised there. All right, well, either way, you're all right in some sense. So Satan is real, but he's not a human being. Satan is a fallen angel. He has power because he's pure spirit. So he's active in the world, but Satan is not God. Satan was created by God and chose to oppose God at some point. And much of what we do know about Satan actually comes from literature and movies and pop culture. So we want to get back into a bit of scripture tonight to try to learn more. And the devil is mentioned many times in the Bible, but there's not many places where he speaks a lot. So we're going to look at a scripture passage where Satan speaks more than any other place in the Bible. And it will set up our true-false questions and give us some answers. So I've got 5 questions in all. That means we've got 4 left because we've already done 1. And the passage we're going to use is when Satan tempts Jesus in the desert. So to set the stage, this is from the Gospel of Luke, and it immediately follows when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. And the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So that's when Jesus heads to the desert. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. Now, when I read this for the first time, I just had to pause. He was in the desert for 40 days, and all it says is he was hungry without any food for those 40 days. I get hungry after a couple of hours. I don't know about you guys. But here he is, he's in the desert and he's coming off of his baptism. And of course, he's making the right choices at every turn because that's what Jesus does. So that brings us to our second true-false statement. If you're getting attacked by the devil, it's a sign that you're doing something wrong. How many believe this is true? And how many believe it's false? All right, lots of hands for false. You're correct if you said false. Jesus shows us that everyone can and will be tempted. Remember, Jesus always does the right thing. Just before this, God said that he was well pleased with his Son. So if Jesus was being attacked and tempted, we should expect to be as well. The devil doesn't need to work on people who are lost. He wants to work on people who are on Jesus' side so he can get them to switch teams. So if you have a relationship with Jesus, you should expect that the devil will be working on you. And he's working on Jesus here in the desert. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." So the devil appeals to Jesus' physical desire at that moment, which is hunger. And this is often the easiest thing for the devil to attack, our physical desires. So that's why sex, drugs, food, those are his first and easiest tools of choice. So these things can be used for good, but they can also be used to control us. And when we aren't able to say no to something, that's when the devil can start using it against us. Satan is also tempting Jesus here by telling him to use his powers in a self-serving way, to use his gifts. Just because we can do something doesn't mean that we should. And Jesus doesn't here. Even though he's hungry, he knows that not eating in this instance is actually better for him than eating. And he's doing it for a greater good. He's fasting. He's practicing self-control. He doesn't need food in this moment to be content. And that's how he replies to Satan. Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." So the devil has fired his first shot. It's just a little jab to see if Jesus reacts, and it doesn't take. So he keeps going. Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and their glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." All right, devil, this one's a little bit more tempting. He shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. I can't imagine how breathtaking that must have been. And Jesus, he tells him that he has all the power to give it to him. It sounds pretty good, but if you've ever had a salesman come on strong and try to sell you something that sounded too good to be true, there's probably a point where you stopped and said, "Wait, what's the catch?" And that brings us to true or false statement number 3. The devil has control over us. Who thinks this is true? False? All right, lots of answers for false again. You're correct if you said false. The devil always puts conditions on anything he offers. There's always a catch. There's always an if statement attached, because the devil has no control over us. We have to invite him in, and we do so far too often. But God is the opposite. There's no if statement attached. God's love is free. It's so free that he offered it to us even while we were still sinners. It's so free that he uses fallen people to spread the news of his redemption. It's so free that we can never earn it, not even one bit. And that's how we can tell the difference between when the devil is speaking and when God is speaking. When the devil speaks, there are always conditions attached. When God speaks, it's truly free. There's no fine print. Grace is always free. And while the price of grace is paid by Jesus, and we can't earn it, once we accept that grace, we still live in a world that has sin and temptation, but it doesn't get easy. We don't earn our salvation, but we do cooperate with God's grace. Here, Jesus gives up power and possessions and pleasure to a greater degree than we ever will, because he knows his reward is much greater. He knows what really matters. He knows that he can be happy without stuff or money or position. Getting back to the story, the devil offered all of those things. He offered power and glory to Jesus. And Jesus' reply is the epitome of short and sweet. Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." So the devil throws his second punch with a lot more behind it, but Jesus is unfazed. He knows that the devil has no control over him. And we can have great confidence in that as well. Even though temptations surround us, the devil has no control over us. He can only come in if we let him. So the devil is sneaky, but is he original? Can he create the chaos that he's after? That brings us to true-false statement number 4. The devil doesn't create anything new. Who thinks this is true? How about false? I don't know. There's not a lot of participation here. We got to keep it up if you guys want to get out of here in an hour. All right. So this statement is true. And to understand why, we'll go back to the scripture, because the devil launches one more attack, and he gets tricky with this one. "Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" So it's almost like the devil is daring Jesus. The devil is telling him to test his powers. it's not hurting anyone if you just try to see if you can do it, right? That's the justification that we all probably use from time to time. It's not hurting anyone if I just have a little bit more to drink or if I take a peek at that website. But Jesus doesn't accept that logic. It's testing God. And to make it even more enticing, the devil quotes scripture. He uses two passages from the Old Testament to try to convince Jesus. He even says it in the same way that Jesus does. It is written. But Jesus isn't fooled. Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" You see, the devil is not original. He's a plagiarizer. He's a copycat. He can't create like God can, so he takes what's there and he twists it. He can take some of the greatest goods that we have in our world and twist them to his purposes. Here he uses scripture. It's one of the greatest things that we've been given, and he tries to use it for his own ends. And the devil does that with all kinds of things that are good inherently, with food and attraction, sex, technology. The devil can use them, but so can we. We can reclaim them for Christ. C.S. Lewis is one of the best known authors of the last century, and he said that we often make two mistakes when it comes to the devil and his demons. One is that we focus far too much, that we give them too much credit for what's going on and how much control they have. The other is that we focus far too little. We don't even believe that they exist. And either one of these can be harmful. The devil and demons do exist, and they're active. So we should be aware, because Satan doesn't ever try to stop tricking us. Do you think that he cares about you? Even just a little bit. How's this for our final true-false question? Satan hates you. Sounds strong, doesn't it? How many believe that this is true? And how many believe it's false? Well, make no mistake, Satan wants nothing good for you. He hates you. Satan chose to turn away from God. We don't quite know why, but from many parts of Scripture, it's clear that Satan can never make it back to heaven. And since he's stuck between hell and tormenting creation, he has a diabolical aim. He wants to steal away all of the good things that we can experience. He wants to ruin our relationship with God, to destroy our faith, and to take us down with him. Satan hates every person here. But we shouldn't be afraid, because the war is already won. The battles will continue. We experience that every day, and Jesus does too. As this passage ends, it's hinted at that Satan will be coming back again. So when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time, but only for a time. Unfortunately, in the same way that God is relentlessly pursuing us, the devil is too. The difference is that God wins. Jesus conquered the temptations in the desert. He conquered sin and death, and he will conquer the things that the devil uses to tempt us. So whatever the sin, the remedy is Christ. That's why we gather here once a week. We're reminded of God's love in the midst of everything else. We receive Jesus in the Word and in the community and in the Eucharist, like the gospel reading said today. And it gives us a pause and a direction for our week. I was in Times Square in New York recently, and if you've been there, you know that it's an overwhelming sensory experience. Billboards and screens everywhere. They even have more screens than we do here. There's people surrounding you everywhere. There's all sorts of interesting sights and smells and sounds. And in the midst of the chaos, it helps to have a purpose, to have a place that you're going. I was headed to St. Patrick's Cathedral, and without that purpose, I think I would have gotten even more lost in the sensory overload. Our lives can feel like a walk through Times Square. They're busy, work, family, school, sports. We're hustling from one activity to the next. But don't lose sight of the long view. That's exactly what Satan wants, to take our eyes off of the cross, off of Jesus. Instead, let's prepare ourselves for the pressures that we face so we know the difference between what's true and what's false. If I take a tube of toothpaste and apply pressure and squeeze, what's going to come out? Toothpaste. It's not a trick question. Now, if I take you and put you under pressure and squeeze, what's going to come out? What fills you? I know for me, sometimes pride can be the thing that comes out when I'm under pressure, or shame. But what I want, what I think you probably want, and what I think we all should want, is for the Holy Spirit to come when we're under pressure. And so I'm going to invite us to do something this week so that it builds that Holy Spirit within us. Because the Holy Spirit is what led Jesus into the desert. It's what will see us through. So how do we fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit? Well, a great start is the Word of God. How would it change us if our minds were filled with God's Word? What if we counter the devil's tactics this week by having a passage of Scripture memorized? That's exactly how Jesus responds to the devil's temptations. He quotes Scripture in the desert. So true or false, next time you're under pressure, you're more likely to squeeze out God's Word if you have it committed to memory. So let's do this. Let's arm ourselves for battle this week. The passage I'm going to give you is a reminder that even though the devil will keep trying, he's no match for Jesus Christ. If you'd like, we have some cards at the Next Steps kiosk or at guest services with this passage on it. You can pick it up to help you this week. And I'll be trying to memorize it right there with you. Say it to family at home or text it to friends from memory. Next week when you arrive at church, maybe say it to a minister when you get here. And let's encourage one another to do this. So now, if you're willing, why don't we close by reading this passage together? It's 1 Corinthians 10:13. No trial has come to you but what is human. God is faithful and will not let you be tried beyond your strength. But with the trial, he will also provide a way out so that you may be able to bear it. We will have battles, but Jesus has already won the war. Let's pray. Lord, we know going into a week as we step out of these doors that there will be temptation, that Satan can be relentless. But even more so, we know that you are relentless, that we can pour ourselves fully into you because you have won the war. You will win the battles in our lives. And we take great hope and strength and solace in that. So help us to take you into our week, into the moments where we need you most. We make this prayer in the great power of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.